At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU's learning environments are designed for supportive networking and collaboration. With over 330 academic programs, GCU provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
Jillian Penzavalli.
Patrick Hines. No. This is like going to be my best part of my day, so we have to really do it.
Just tell the people what happened real quick.
Oh, it took me 2 hours to get here.
From your, like, people who don't live in New York City probably don't understand this, but like, whatever, the MTA is the worst. Yeah. The bell is here.
Yes. Oh, that feels so good.
I actually wanted to, before we started, I wanted to maybe...
Of course the MTA gets the first day. Yeah. Of course.
I thought maybe we could break in the bell. I'm going to say some names.
Oh, okay. Warren Jeffs. Are we playing the game garbage or not garbage?
Exactly.
Okay, ready?
Warren Jeffs. Tanya Harding. I wasn't sure how that was going to go.
I did a little, garbage.
LaVonya Harding.
And Warren Jeffs gets more, too. Warren Jeffs cannot get a single one if I'm going to do the...
Courtney Love.
Courtney, are you listening? She's totally listening. She was like our first listener.
The weird, weird gay guy from Holy Hell.
Oh, like the cult leader?
Yeah.
There were a couple of weird gay guys in that movie, and some of them were 1,000,000% victims. So I was like, wait, which one?
Mr. Becky.
With an eye roll. That's like a please. What an easy one.
Nancy Kerrigan?
Get this garbage bell away from me.
Gay Talese.
Yeah. Sorry. Sorry, not sorry. Straight, maybe. Gay Talese.
Who else have we done?
Oh, Gerald Foos, the actual, yeah. The voyeur. No, you're a piece of trash.
Nick Broomfield.
I'm sorry, Nick.
This bell.
And did you hear it was like slower? Like, not Warren Jeffs level, but still like.
Neve Schulman? Is he garbage?
Only because it's like how many seasons of that show Catfish is there? How real are those episodes? And when does it get to the point where you're just exploiting these dumb people who think that the guy looks like a supermodel that they're talking to?
Right.
Like, give me a break.
Angela from Catfish.
Oh, yeah.
The mom.
Yeah, but there's mental health stuff there.
Yeah.
For sure. But yeah. Also, lying about cancer. Sorry. This is a wild, what a fun walk down memory lane this is.
I guess I honestly didn't expect the bell to be this much fun. This is the best.
Maybe in editing it won't be as fun.
That's true. Oh God, we'll have to see about that.
Yeah. Well, people in the Facebook group were excited about this, but then there were a couple of people who were like, well, she can't just stop saying ding ding ding. So I'll balance it, you guys. I'll do both.
Oh, girl, what are we talking about today?
We are talking about Beware the Slender Man.
I reached across the table.
All right, we got to move the water out of the way because I cannot have you spilling water.
I know. The Slender Man is garbage, though. The Slender Man himself is garbage. The
Slender Man is fake. I feel like here's another thing that was discussed in the Facebook group. If you guys haven't joined, please do.
Yeah, please do.
And it's so much fun. But some people were saying that they were really nervous to not only watch this documentary, but to listen to our episode because they thought it was going to be too scary.
Yeah.
So I just want to say first, and we'll get into it, but the Slender Man is not a real thing. Sort of like this internet urban legend, but it is not a real entity.
No.
It's just like the Slender Man stories.
Right.
The stories are real, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and we'll get into like the origin story. But I have to say, I will say that this, the preview for this movie is the scariest preview for any documentary I've ever. It's terrifying.
And when it's just audio, you're like, oh my God.
I know.
The palest man, the blackest suit, bigger than the tallest brute. Fear the man, the slender man, for he can do what no one can.
Came upon a 12-year-old female. She appears to be stabbed. She appears to be what? Stabbed?
Wire and Geyser are accused of stabbing the friend and leaving her for dead.
Police say the suspects were inspired by a character on a website.
Slender Man, a
faceless ghoul.
We never thought she could possibly believe that it was real.
Anisha told me we had to. She said that he'd kill our families.
Who's he?
A man. He could be anywhere from 6 feet to 14 feet tall. He doesn't have a face. His skin is white.
She needed to prove that Slender Man existed and would be able to do that by killing somebody.
We forget how much it sucks to be a kid.
They don't know how to differentiate between fantasy and reality.
People are captivated by Slender Man. That's what I call power.
To believe in the boogeyman isn't that hard. And they believed it was real.
She lifts up her jacket, shows me the handle of a knife.
What were you thinking?
Dear God, this is really happening.
So we open on like this Blair Witch looking style situation with this young girl running through the woods and there's the camera and the light on the camera and she's like, it's in the dark. She's like losing Slender Man and then seeing him and it's like these things like, oh my God. And then this is the very first, like the movie opens on the very first homemade video that teenagers are making as if they're really finding Slender Man.
So that's what that is?
Yeah.
Oh.
Because later on we go through all of the like real Slender Man sighting and it's all these kids just making it at home in their cul-de-sacs in Arizona or whatever. And it's like, ladies, girls, please, this is not Slender Man's not real.
I think that when this documentary first came out, the criticism was that it wasn't at all about the searching for Slender Man. It was about these two kids that like did this horrible thing in the name of Slender Man.
Right, but they did search for Slender Man because they talked to the guy, like the people who make memes, and like, and that's where you find Slender Man. He's on the internet. He's not real. Like, I don't understand why this is hard for many people to understand.
Yeah. I agree. So it opens with like the 911 call.
Oh my God.
And the thing about this 911, first of all, I was like, is this 911 dispatcher's first day?
I know.
Like, he like cannot handle the idea that somebody's been stabbed. Like, he's like, wait, what? Say what? Say what? We're 3 seconds in and we're already in an, I'm sorry, what off?
911, what's the address of your emergency?
Waukesha County Millennium Transformer, a caller on Big Bend at the dead end just south of Rivera.
Okay.
And he came upon a 12-year-old female. She appears to be stabbed.
She appears to be what?
Stabbed.
Stabbed?
Correct.
This is Waukesha, Wisconsin.
Yeah, which I was like, who knows, guys?
I think I did. Yeah. May 31st, 2014 at 9:50 in the morning. So first day or 100th day.
Right.
When it's like, there's a 12-year-old, I found her on the side of the road and she's been stabbed 19 times. Yeah. I would say, I'm sorry, what?
I know.
This is horrible. This can't be, like, who expects to get... They probably get, what kind of calls do you get in the middle of nowhere, Wisconsin? Honestly, like.
On Saturday, May 31st, 2014, at approximately 9:50 a.m., the Waukesha Police Department was notified by a concerned citizen that a 12-year-old girl was stabbed in the area of Big Bend Road in the city of Waukesha.
The stabbing brought a huge police presence to the area, a major search by ground and air looking for two other girls. Anissa Wire and Morgan Geiser are accused of stabbing their friends and leaving her for dead.
All right, will you walk us through the overview of what happened here?
So very quickly, we learn that Anissa Wire and Morgan Geiser stabbed their friend named Peyton, who they call Bella.
Which I was just like, guys, come on.
And even Bella says, like, there's a video of her doing the ice bucket challenge. And she says, hi, I'm Bella, and I'm doing the ice bucket challenge. So whatever, this, I guess Twilight came out or whatever.
Right.
Isn't there a Bella
That's
in
my
there?
Guess. Yeah.
Okay. So whatever. So Peyton, Bella, just...
Same person.
So they stab her in the woods and they leave her for dead. They did this. They stabbed her 19 times. She was barely alive. She found her way to the side of the road. And apparently, they were inspired by a website called Creepypasta.
Which just, I hate that name so much. I know.
And the story of Slender Man.
Now, the story they followed was about a character called Slender Man.
A tall, fictional boogeyman featured on internet blogs.
Slender Man, a faceless ghoul many parents have likely never heard of.
If you don't know who Slender Man is, well, we didn't either. But plenty of young kids do.
If you don't know what Slender Man is, you live under a rock.
He is fictional. I'm going to say that 800 times. I really just need everyone to be aware. But kids love this story, and we'll get into why they are drawn to this story.
Right.
But apparently these two girls really did it to prove their worth to the Slender Man. And even though they are 12 years old, they are tried as adults.
So the interrogation, we see them in the interrogation room, and we see they're separated, they're in different interrogation rooms, and it sort of goes throughout. We learn a lot of stuff about, like, their plan in the beginning that's, like, so creepy. Like, Anissa said that she needed to prove that the Slender Man existed. That was her whole point.
I wanted to prove all skeptics wrong. Okay. So, did you think that you actually had to kill somebody to do it?
Yeah.
Like, for real?
Can you say it one more time?
Slender Man is not real.
Because Anissa, these kids don't believe it. These kids believe that Slender Man is real.
Well, the reason they stabbed their best friend in this particular forest is because the Slender Mansion... I almost just broke the bell. The Slender Mansion is apparently in the middle of the woods in Wisconsin.
Right.
And what they were going to do was kill their friend.
Yeah.
I can't even believe this is a thing that I'm saying out loud and actually happened. They were going to kill their friend and then just, like, walk until they found the Slender Mansion. And that's where all the creepy pastas live. Creepy pasta gets the garbage. I'm going to pull it back. I feel like there are some people who are just like, I used to love True Crime Obsessed until that goddamn bell came along and ruined everything.
Let's go into these interrogations a little bit.
These interrogations are sprinkled in throughout the documentary.
Yeah.
And goddamn if they aren't some of the creepiest minutes I've ever watched in my life.
No, it's true, because the kids sound like robot demon children. This is literally like, these interrogations are 6 hours after the stabbing. Mm-hmm. So they've been picked up, they've been brought to interrogation rooms. This comes up later, but I immediately was like, where are their parents? Why aren't their parents there?
Yeah.
And we find out later that they weren't entitled to a phone call. They didn't offer the parent being there to the kids. And of course the kids aren't going to think to ask.
Right.
Before I find out what the real story is of what happened today, I need to read you your rights.
If you cannot afford an attorney, one will be provided to you by the courts. Understanding these rights, you want to sit down and talk to me about today? Mm-hmm. You do me a favor and initial right there and sign right there.
Here?
Yeah.
So their parents are not with them, which I hate. But tell us about, take us through Morgan's, the beginning part of Morgan's.
So Morgan from the very beginning is really throwing Anissa under the bus.
Yeah.
Big time.
They kind of both are. Both throwing each other under the bus.
Yeah. And then they go from like throwing each other under the bus to both of them totally freely admitting what happened.
Right.
Back and forth. And yeah. I'm like, oh, this is some serious stuff. These girls are incredibly troubled.
Absolutely.
12-year-olds. So Morgan is saying,
I didn't want to do this.
Why did you do it then?
I was afraid of what would happen if I didn't.
Now, if you were to read that, like, on text, right?
Yeah.
Like in the script, wouldn't you think just those words, she would be like really emotional and crying?
Yes.
And like, I didn't want to do this, but I was so scared. Like even that.
Yeah.
She is monotone. There's no emotion coming from either of them.
Yeah.
Anissa gets emotional when they mention her parents.
Right.
Much later on. But until then, they're just like, no, like, this is what creepypasta is. And I'm like, oh my God.
I know. And we immediately find out that these kids really think that Slender Man is real through this interrogation.
Yeah, so Morgan is asked, have you ever met him?
Ever met him?
Not exactly.
And I'm immediately locking all my doors. Everyone in this movie is under my closet and also in my bed. It's weird. They're like splitting themselves up. It's horrifying.
Yeah. And then he says to her, tell me about him.
Tell me about him.
He watches you.
How does he watch you?
He can read minds and he has teleportation skills.
And like one of the most chilling things is that Morgan is asked, why did you stab Peyton?
Why did you decide to stab Peyton?
It was necessary.
What is that? Oh my God!
It is
terrifying.
I can't handle it. I don't. It's like, it's not just garbage. I'm like, I'm scared for everybody involved.
I know.
This is horrible.
I know.
Like, what do you have to believe to really think that it's necessary?
I know. Well, so then we see Anissa in her interrogation room, and she's being interrogated by a woman, and she says, do you honestly believe that your family would be killed? Because that's Anissa's story. She's like, of course. Yeah.
Well, I read it on the internet.
Right.
When Morgan said to you that if we don't do this for Slender, our families are and loved ones are going to be killed. Do you honestly believe that?
Well, yeah, because he could be anywhere from 6 feet to 14 feet tall. He constantly wears a suit He doesn't have a face. His skin is white. And at his own will, he can, explode these tendrils from his back.
Okay, so then we get, like, a bit of the Morgan backstory.
Mm-hmm.
And we meet Morgan's mom, mm-hmm. who looks, like, totally normal.
Angie.
She seems like she could be anybody's mom.
Morgan was a surprise.
Morgan was a surprise. And I didn't know how to feel about it at first. But I knew that I loved her. And she changed our lives drastically and for the better.
Yeah, I think she's a little, from what things we learn later, and I get this vibe from her right up front, she's a little naive and a little bit in denial.
I agree. So Morgan was a super cute kid.
Mm-hmm.
Like this cute, beautiful little like blonde girl. Mm-hmm. And she like loved to play the piano.
She's talented.
She was super talented at everything.
So, and Angie also tells us that Morgan wasn't self-conscious or worried about what anyone thought of her. So at first Angie thought, great.
Even from little on, she didn't care what people think about her, which I think is a wonderful trait. Especially for a girl. And girls are usually so self-conscious and concerned about what others think of them. And Morgan was never like that.
And then here are the odd things about Morgan.
She didn't react the way that you would expect her to react, like at the movies. Like if something bad happened to the main character, she wouldn't have empathy for them.
This is the first time in this documentary where I'm like, are you seriously playing this whole fucking clip? Are you doing this? Are you seriously
doing this? I know.
So Angie tells us that Morgan had no emotion when it came to Bambi. They play the scene. You know the scene.
I know.
The scene.
Yeah, the scene where Bambi's mother gets shot.
All right.
We were so worried to watch it with her because we thought she was going to be so upset, you know, when the mother died. But the mother died, and Morgan just said, run, Bambi, run. Get out of there. Save yourself. You know, and she wasn't sad about it.
And meanwhile, I'm like, I haven't watched this movie in decades.
I know.
And they're making me sit through the scene. I muted it and looked away and wrote notes about something else, which is I did later on as well, and you guys will know why.
So Angie, the mom, tells us that they become aware of their daughter's interest in the Slender Man.
Mm-hmm.
We were aware that Morgan was interested in Slender Man. She would show us some of the characters and some of the stories. While I wasn't thrilled about her interest, I didn't really see the harm in it either. We never thought for a moment that she could possibly believe that it was real.
And she has this great analogy where she's like,
when I was Morgan's age, I remember biking home from the library with Stephen King's It, you know? So I liked that sort of thing too when I was her age. And I think most kids her age do like scary stories and horror movies and scary stories on the internet, you know? So that's all that we thought that it was.
And now we learn about Anissa.
Yeah. It opens with this like super creepy video of them singing that Bring My Body Back to Me song.
Yeah, that was weird. That went on for too long, much like a lot of this documentary.
Bring back. Oh, bring back my body to me.
And we hear Anissa's backstory, I guess, from her dad, Bill.
Yeah.
Because Bill and Christy are no longer together. Christy is Anissa's mom.
Bill is super dilfy, by the way.
Bill, like, has his shit together.
Yeah, totally.
Bill goes through how, like, there were rules in that house.
You know, people have asked me if I saw any signs in my daughter and this and that. And I was like, no, I knew what she was doing in here. You know, there's all of the kids, not just Anissa, all of them. They know there's, you know, no closed doors in this house unless you're fresh out of the shower or getting ready for bed.
No, we're taking his word for it, but he seems like a no-shit kind of dad. And I think that he's very much trying to head off the idea that he was the uninvolved parent.
Yeah.
For people to say, you know, I wasn't involved, you know, apart from sitting in the corner and watching every move she makes, I don't know how much more involved I could have been.
So now we're sort of back to the interrogation room. And this is so creepy. What does Morgan say?
Do you know? She asks what happened to Bella.
Right.
And then she's like, you know, Bella was the one who got stabbed. Morgan, we know!
Do you know what happened to Bella? She's not a Nisa. She's the one who was stabbed.
Stabbed? I'm not really sure.
Is she dead?
I don't know.
And then it cuts to Anissa in her interrogation room. She basically wants to know how far they walk because her Fitbit was broken.
She wants to know what the, how if she got her steps in.
Right.
Can I ask a quick question?
Sure.
I just wanted to know how far I walked because I'm usually not very athletic and just want to know.
Okay.
Do you know how far that would be?
There are so many times it cuts to these kids and they ask a question that you that sounds like they are showing remorse, and then it's a completely non-remorseful, self-serving question.
Which is why we learn right around this time that they're going to be tried as adults for first-degree murder.
Yes. That's a Wisconsin law, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. And they face up to 65 years in prison.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of the hunt. But are you getting the thrill of the best deals? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores, like Urban Outfitters, YSL Beauty, and Wine.com. And even stack sales on top of cash back. It's easy to use, and you get your cash back through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Let's learn a little bit more about Slenderman.
Okay, you guys.
This cast of characters.
This is like an adventure in Skype. My favorite thing is there's like a 3-minute montage of how nobody can make Skype work ever.
Not a single person. Not a single person being interviewed.
Hello, Dr. Zipes.
Wait. Hello.
Actually, the quality seems fine on my end. And yeah, my Skype is just not having it today.
Have we started now?
It just immediately made me think of Gay Talese.
Yeah.
Like, Gerald.
Hello? Can't get a word in edgewise. Hello, what's the matter? What is it? What's the matter? Well, the first guy we meet is Trevor J. Blank, PhD.
What is his title?
He is a digital folklorist.
How do you think that conversation went with his parents? Mom and dad, mom and mom, dad and dad. I want to get my PhD in digital folklorism.
Kids, never let anyone tell you you can't be anything you want in this world. This guy is a doctor of shit you read on the internet. Don't let anyone tell you you can't be exactly what you want to be. Digital folklorist PhD. He should be an inspiration to you all. It's absurd. What a time to be alive. A doctor of shit you read on the internet. Unbelievable.
Not since Out Came the Chloroform have I laughed so hard.
It's unbelievable.
Slenderman is the modern day boogeyman. Because it's faceless, because it's quiet, because it doesn't speak words, is open to a lot of interpretation and open to a lot of possibilities and a lot of projection. It varies from person to person as to what Slenderman actually is.
Okay, so this part is like really interesting. This is where we actually learn the like how Slenderman came to be, and they track down the very first post about Slenderman.
It's a Photoshop contest.
Right.
He's not real. It's so obvious he's not real.
We can empirically look back and find out where Slenderman was created. It was created in 2009 by Eric Knudsen under the screen name Victor Surge as part of a Photoshop contest to try to create something that looked real that really wasn't.
Careful what you wish for, Photoshop.
I know.
Thanks.
God.
Thanks for this, Photoshop.
Seriously. So, and let's describe Slenderman. He's sort of exactly what he sounds like. He's a tall, he's usually abnormally tall.
Yeah.
6'5" at least, I would say, and even all the photos that they show.
Yeah.
Super slender, and he doesn't have a face.
Right.
He's just like a white face, which again is like, he can be anything you want.
Exactly.
Totally.
It encapsulates symbolically a lot of these other kind of societal fears that we've had for ages and ages, and kind of conveniently wraps them up and makes it really malleable. Because really, Slender Man can be whomever you want him to be.
He's sort of, our digital folklorist friend says that he's the Grim Reaper with a heart of gold.
Right, because this is where we start to learn that the thing about Slender Man is that he's not, he's there maybe to save the kids. He's not there to torment the kids.
Right.
These pictures are not so much him showing up on the playground to snatch kids away, but to rescue them. Stories like this can be a powerful aphrodisiac for somebody who is lonely or is troubled or is trying to find their way in the world.
But at the same time, then we hear from Morgan and Anissa, if you don't do what he says, you'll kill your family.
Right, right.
So again, it's like, depending on all the stories you read, yeah, depending on what information you get, it's totally different.
It's important to point out here that, like, they say that the reason Slender Man is so many things to so many people is because people were just like building on the existing story, mm-hmm, taking what they liked about the story and changing it.
Right.
Slenderman has this entire community of people online who are feeding into the narrative and creating their own versions of it. It's constantly, it's exponentially growing.
It's just the idea that, like, Slenderman is meant to embody anything that anybody is afraid of. So, like, right, you can custom fit it to your personal fears, and that's what people do.
Yeah. Sort of when you need him the most, he can become a very comforting figure.
Right.
And then when there are mental health issues at play, that becomes delusion.
Right.
And then we get into a really dark, dark place.
Right. Can we talk really quickly about 800-year-old Richard Dawkins?
Sure, the evolutionary biologist.
He's your great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather who explains what a meme is.
He's here for one reason, and it's to explain to everybody what a meme is. And I'm here for it.
In human culture, if it's copied from one brain to another, that's a meme.
But the thing about the meme that's so interesting and why it applies so much to this thing is because he's saying a meme is anything replicable.
Mm-hmm.
And the Slender Man was so replicable.
It's so heavily visually oriented that it's replicable without really having to understand too much cultural context.
Like, you would see him, he went from being like a 2D thing that you would draw pictures of to then you would like write stories about. Then it was like a thing on YouTube.
Right, where people were staging like that video of like the kid's little brother doing cartwheels or doing gymnastics, right, and she's being filmed in the middle of the day, and then suddenly it's like, oh fuck, and like the camera's all shaky and it's like real Slender Man sighting. Like, that's what these kids were doing.
Right.
What the fuck? Oh my god! Run! 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 Run!
They're faking it.
Right.
And they know that's bullshit when you're filming it.
Right.
But you're playing into this narrative and other people are taking it in a really serious, creepy way.
Right. And they say too that like the YouTube became the language for people overseas who didn't speak English to find their way into the Slender Man thing. And there's a video of these two guys like walking into a field in like Russia or whatever, mm-hmm, like to go see Slender Man. And you see Slender Man like way off.
Oh, joder, Kike.
No, we were.
It's crazy.
And it's amazing because these videos, the way they shoot them are like, they're handheld, so they're super like Blair Witchy, like nothing's in focus, and you want to watch it 800 times to see if you can see it. Like, even I was falling for
it. Yeah, like, where is it? Where is he?
Exactly.
And that's why they're so easy to make. So it's 2 months since the stabbing.
Yeah.
And we learn about Anissa's Google search history. It's all still there. And can we just get it out of the way and don't play any of it? And I'm just gonna I'm sorry. She watched this video about this cat named Zeus eating a mouse alive and like stalking it and doing the natural thing that cats do.
They put a cat in the bathtub with a mouse in the bathtub.
Whatever.
And they're talking about like the circle of life. Like, I'm sorry, but it's the circle of life.
And it's like this dumb bitch, this bitch in the video. Like, isn't that so hilarious?
Yeah.
And then, but Anissa's comment on it, not only did she watch it, but she shared it and she said, I love how Zeus beats the mouse to death.
Ugh.
Chilling.
Yeah.
It truly is. I mean, it's horrifying.
Yes.
Of course, they play the whole video, so I was, like, muting it and looking away and not. I mean, it's really...
But then she has these, like, off-the-cuff, like, she takes a Am I a Psychopath quiz? Am I a Sociopath quiz? And she, like, gets it correct, which, like, in this dumb universe makes her a psychopath or a sociopath.
Right.
And she's, like, comments with, like, the police are coming for me.
Lock me up.
Yeah.
Yeah, take me away.
Yeah.
But
she clearly knows she's having dark, disturbing thoughts, and she's investigating it.
She also watches a lot of Doomsday Preppers.
Oh my God. No offense if anybody's a Doomsday Prepper, but guys.
They're like the extreme couponers too, where it's like your entire life. Your entire life is binders and shopping and arranging and organizing your cans of food. That's the same thing.
These are the people who keep like the backyard shed people in business.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh my God. Well, and also Anissa's mom is like, well, there was nothing too crazy in her history.
She watched a lot of things that were funny to her. Nothing that was gross and depressing and emotionally degrading.
Yeah, there is in her Google history. That mouse video should be disturbing to you.
Yeah.
And a red flag, a red glittery gigantic flag should have shot up and been like...
So at this point, we start to see the parents like going to visit their kids in prison.
It's been 6 months since the stabbing.
Yeah.
And so right now they're at a facility where all visits are divided by glass, observed and recorded, and they only have contact visits twice a month with their families.
Which contact visits means that you actually get to touch or hold them. Mm-hmm. Like, I cannot imagine what it would be like for my child to be separated from me and I could not touch her.
Right.
I cannot imagine it.
So right before one of these visits, there's a phone call.
You have a prepaid call from...
Anissa,
an inmate at
Washington County Jail.
That involves Anissa and her dad and a couple of friends.
This kid, Tyler, who has amazing hair, who was an inmate with Anissa and mm-hmm. is out. And then a childhood friend of Anissa's.
Named Maggie, who we realize, like, they haven't really seen each other.
Right. They don't go to the same school.
Yeah.
But, like...
We learn a lot in this conversation.
Yeah, so take it away.
Well, first of all, it's super manic. Anissa is literally bouncing off the walls. She's describing herself sliding around and spinning on the floor.
I am sitting on the floor and I'm spinning and putting my feet up in the air and using my hand as a third wheel kind of thing. And then I'm like hitting out my feet and it's just the weirdest thing. I look like a frog trying to take a poop.
Even her dad's like, Anissa, can you take a breath? She's manic is the only way to describe
she
it.
She absolutely is manic.
Hey. Anissa.
Yeah?
Dial it back a notch.
Which is funny because it's the only other time we really see her other than the interrogation videos. Mm-hmm. And in the interrogation videos, she's so somber.
Yeah. And everyone, like, it's so awkward. It's like so what 12-year-olds would do where it's like, hey, what's up? Nothing. What's up with you? Nothing. What's up with you? They ask her what's up no less than 8 times.
Like, besides what we've already, like, mentioned, what's up with you?
And at one point, she's like, well, nothing really, man. I'm in a cell by myself.
Right.
Like, nothing's up with me.
Ever
How
since
are
I tried
you?
To kill that girl, I've just been in jail.
That's what's up with me.
Yeah, exactly.
They're telling her things like, don't smile in court.
Mom and Dad told me that you'd be in court tomorrow. I'll kind of look up a little bit, and if I can see you, I'll, like, move my index finger on my right hand. And you might see me smiling.
Okay. Just don't smile too much.
One big piece of information that we learned, which is like not a shocker at all, but Maggie, her friend, didn't know anything about Slender Man. Anissa never talked to her about it.
Right. I don't know where the whole Slender Man thing started because Anissa never talked about anything like that. Nobody ever talked about Slender Man. Unless she was like constantly internet surfing. She never really showed me anything that was bad or anything scary. She is easily frightened, though.
Maggie, who's like 35 years old, who talks like a full-grown human adult, is
but
like...
But she's like 12.
Yeah. But she's like, maybe she did it to be noticed. And I'm like, Maggie, girl, you are wise beyond your years.
Maybe she did it because she wanted to be noticed. Because... Honestly, at her school, I didn't know that she didn't have many friends. She told me that she had lots of friends and lots of guys liked her and and she was accepted and she was having a great time at school. But she was constantly picked on. And she never really fit in. She was a follower.
Also, join the drama club, you guys.
I know.
You know what I mean? There are other ways to have a spotlight shined on you.
Right.
So at this point, basically through the interrogations, the girls take us through exactly what happened that led up to the stabbing. It starts the night before with this birthday party. And there's pictures of it. Like, they look so happy. They look like they're just, like, having a birth. And then you hear from Morgan's mom that, like, there was nothing out of the ordinary.
They were being normal little girls. They were running up and down the stairs holding hands and giggling. There was no indication that anything was was off or that we had anything to be worried about.
So the plan was Morgan and Anissa were very prepared.
Yeah. They've been planning since December. It's May, you guys.
Yeah. End of May. So the plan was to, this is like, just know this is really hard to describe because it's just horrible. So the plan was to kill Bella.
Originally, we kill Bella, put her under some covers, make it look like she was sleeping, and then we run.
And then just run away. Right. Bad plan for kids who have been planning this for almost 6 months. Yeah. Not a good plan. How are you going to kill her and then leave her there and then just run? Oh, right. Running to the Slender Mansion. I'm sorry.
Right. Exactly.
Keep forgetting that minor detail because it doesn't exist.
Well, the reason they wanted to do it at night was because they had heard that you weren't supposed to kill people while they were awake. It's better to kill people when they're unconscious because, and you're thinking, oh, right. So they won't like feel pain or no.
From what I read on the Creepypasta Wiki, it's easier to kill people when they're either asleep or unconscious. Because, like, when you look into a person's eyes, you can see yourself. And you don't want to be killing yourself.
If their eyes are open, you can see yourself in their eyes and you don't want to be killing yourself.
Thank you, Anissa.
Anissa, girl.
I'm never going to sleep again because of you.
I know.
Singing like canaries, the two of them. So Morgan is saying, like, I just wanted to give Bella one more morning.
I wanted to give her at least one more morning.
You wanted to give Bella one more day?
I wanted to see if I could put it off forever, but it didn't seem to work out like that.
So they, like, wake up and have a normal breakfast, and they ask Anissa's mom.
Donuts, by the way. They had donuts for breakfast.
Right.
It's my dream breakfast.
So they ask Morgan's mom, can we go to the park? And she's like, yeah.
Then everything was very normal. The girls were laughing and having a good time. And they asked if they could go to the park. And I didn't think anything of it. I said, yeah, of course you can go to the park. And, you know, Morgan said goodbye and told me she loved me.
So the interrogator asks Anissa, how did you know that Morgan had the knife?
How did you know that she grabbed one? Because she showed it to me as we were walking to the park. She lifts up her winter jacket.
Okay.
And shows me the handle of a knife.
Yeah, Morgan, like, swiped the knife from her own kitchen.
Right. So they go to the park, they're playing in the park, and they go into the bathroom, is that right? Here, again, they were asked, like, what were you most worried about? And she says,
seeing a dead body.
What were you nervous about most?
Seeing a dead person, because the last time I saw a dead person, it was at a funeral, and it was my uncle's.
Not killing my friend or hearing my friend's painful screams.
Or like do the act of stabbing someone. The act of stabbing someone is one of the most vicious, if not the most vicious way other than like beating. Like it's such a personal, vicious, horrible, horrible thing.
Right.
That I can't. No, but just seeing a dead body.
Right.
Okay. All right. You're in my closet. Not in my bed. It's totally fine. I'm never sleeping again.
Right. So
the plan was to stab her in the bathroom.
So they get her into the bathroom.
They get her into the bathroom. And Anissa straight up is like, can you go to sleep? Can you just go to bed? And Bella's like, no. Right. Like, that's not really how it works. And Anissa's like, you need to go to sleep. So Bella's like, okay. And just like closes her eyes.
Right. At which point Anissa smashes her head into the concrete wall.
Yeah. To like help her, to help Anissa not see a conscious person as she's stabbing her.
Right. No, here's the thing. We're not victim blaming. I'm not victim blaming. But like, she smashes her head into the wall. Then they decide not to stab her in the bathroom. They go outside and play hide and seek. Like,
well, says them.
I'm saying there's nothing said to Bella like red flag. Like,
yeah.
Time to get the hell out of here.
Right. And it's also like, this is their side of the story. Also, Anissa doesn't like screaming. It's like the one thing she can't handle.
I don't like screaming. That's one thing I can't handle.
Anissa, shut your mouth. Sit quietly. Like, this is horrible.
Maybe just don't murder somebody. If you don't like screaming and you don't like, just don't murder somebody.
Right.
So they're playing hide and seek, and Anissa talks about how, like, I guess Morgan was it. She was the one that was going to find them. And Anissa is, like, coaxing Bella deeper and deeper into the woods. They're hiding, and then Morgan comes upon them, and then there's, like, a back and forth about who's going to actually do the stabbing.
Yeah.
Morgan hands me the knife and says, I can't do it. You know where all the soft spots are. And then I give it back to her and say, you do it. Just go ballistic. Go crazy. Make sure she's down. And then Morgan said, I'm not doing it until you tell me to. I started walking away, and then, like, when I was 5 feet away, I said, now.
So at this point, like, Bella's been stabbed, and she's trying to get up to go for help. And Anissa, one of the girls, says to her, like, stop yelling and lie back down. You'll bleed less if you do that. We're going to go get help. And so they basically leave her to die because they have no intention of getting help.
Right. And they say that. They're like, no, we were going to the Slender Mansion. I don't know how many times we have to say it.
Right.
We're not
right.
going to go get help.
So then Bella, like, crawls out to a service road or something, and it's discovered by a biker. That's how she gets found. Otherwise, yeah. She would have just bled to death in the woods.
Yeah, she is a strong, badass 12-year-old girl.
Yeah, absolutely.
She saved her own life. Can you imagine after, like, the shock and actual trauma she must have been in to say, nope, I'm not going to do this. This is not going to happen to me.
Yeah, she's alive and well. Well, she's alive and getting better somewhere right at this very moment.
That's incredible. I'm getting full body chills thinking about it. Like, she's a hero.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of the hunt. But are you getting the thrill of the best deals? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores, like Urban Outfitters, YSL Beauty, and Wine.com. And even stack sales on top of cash back. It's easy to use, and you get your cash back through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Now we're seeing, like, the court proceedings. And again, these court proceedings are meant to determine whether or not the girls will be tried as adults. The first one that they're dealing with is Anissa.
So this Dr. Michael Caldwell guy, who's like, question mark, because he is going on and on about this diminished ability to understand what's real or not real and explaining, right. Like, that's what a psychopath is. And, you know, for like an hour and 18 zillion more hours, what it feels like in this documentary, we've seen two girls who clearly can't tell what's real and what's not real, right?
Right.
So this whole time as he's describing it, I was like, he's going to say that one or both of them are psychopath, right?
Right.
He says Anissa does not show signs of a psychopath. I'm confused by that.
I know.
So I've done quite a bit of research on the early stages of psychopathic personality in adolescence over the last 20 years.
Based on your experiences and testing of Anissa, she does not carry that particular diagnosis.
No, she doesn't have, she has really no characteristics of a psychopath or a sociopath or anything like that.
Okay.
So then we see this, like, battery of psychologists and private investigators that are called to the stand to testify to Morgan's mental stability.
Yeah.
And it's, like, right from the beginning, we meet a private investigator who talks about, like, going into her room and finding all of these journals.
Could you just describe in general terms what you found in the bedroom when you went through it?
There were numerous notebooks and pieces of paper with drawings and writings pertaining to the Slender Man character.
So she's been diagnosed with schizophrenia, unspecified, oppositional defiant disorder, and bronchial asthma.
The asthma was my favorite part. I was like, okay.
Mild intermittent.
But then we cut to Morgan's family, and now we're meeting Morgan's dad for the first time, and this is where we get some major information.
This makes me crazy.
This makes me crazy, too.
Because Matt Geiser is Morgan's father, and we learn that he suffers from the same mental illnesses that Morgan does.
Right.
Well, we knew her diagnosis before we went to meet them at the hospital. We had a conference call with two of the doctors, so we were prepared. And the reason that we all went up there actually was so that we could tell Morgan what her diagnosis was. And we thought that it would be helpful for her to know that her father also had the same mental illness, because we had never told her previously that Matt had schizophrenia.
And the thing that makes me crazy is that they
never told her.
And then,
right,
Angie, this bitch, in the beginning is like, I just don't know where this came from.
Right.
Where it's like,
right.
Oh, that's what makes me so mad. And that's why, like, if you go back and listen to her or watch her,
yeah.
You're like, this is a total act.
Well, and that's why this whole, the ending, if you like, makes you rethink all of her stuff in the beginning, because she's like, she's noticing these character traits about her kid that are like, ding, ding, ding. These are character traits of somebody who is potentially going to be, have some sort of mental disorder, which clearly runs in the family, which is why when they say she was a surprise, now it makes sense, because they probably never meant to have biological children,
right?
Because his serious illness is hereditary,
because they didn't want this to happen.
And then you hear him describing his own illness,
the heartbreaking thing.
he's crying real tears the whole time.
Yeah,
I'm like the glaring demon devil like that. You're like, okay, this is clearly not real, but it doesn't matter. Like, I've had where like you can like see it. And, like, you know it's not real. It totally doesn't matter because you're still terrified of it. I know the devil's not in the back seat, but the devil is in the back seat, you know?
So it ends that we find out the judge denies their request for juvenile court, and they're going to be tried as adults. And the updates that I found were on my birthday this year.
Oh, my.
December 21st, or last year, 2017. Anissa was sentenced to up to 25 years in a state mental institution.
And what about Morgan?
Morgan, we're still waiting for, because she arranged a plea deal with prosecutors.
Oh.
So that was supposed to be announced in December, but it hasn't been. But she's going to have a psychiatric evaluation that began in November.
Wow.
So her update should be coming pretty soon.
Oh, girl, we did it.
We did
it. We got through Slender Man. I really, you know... Subject matter aside, I thought this was a really interesting documentary. I really liked it.
Yeah, it is. It was. It felt like it was 2 hours of showing me how the internet works.
It's true. It was way too long.
Yeah.
It's too long.
Yeah.
You guys, I know that I said last week that the calendar was fully updated. Just kidding. It will be fully updated by the time this episode goes live. So
amazing.
Once again, you can look at our calendar on our website to see basically through March all of the documentaries we're doing, where you can find them, and where you can find them for free.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's subject to change if something cooler or better comes along.
Right.
But that'll be sort of what we're doing for now. Jillian Pezzavalli, where can they find us?
At True Crime Obsess.
No ED.
On the Twitter. And TrueCrimeObsessed.com.
Join our Facebook group, you guys.
It's so much fun.
It's super fun and super lively, and we're in there all the time.
I put my phone down for 10 minutes, and then I come back, and I'm not exaggerating, like 35 to 55 notifications, and it's all you.
There are days I am super duper active.
Oh, all you. I was talking to the group. Like, it's all you guys.
Yeah, we're obsessed. It's a True Crime Obsessed podcast discussion group.
Yeah.
Where can they find you?
Oh, I'm at Jillian with a G.
On all the things.
On all the things.
And I'm at Patrick Hines on the Twitter. Follow me. I'm at Patrick Hines _ on the Instagram. Up next, we're doing one of my all-time favorite documentaries called My Kid Could Paint That, all about whether or not this 4-year-old girl is a painting prodigy or if the entire thing was made up by her parents. You can find it on Google Play or Amazon Prime for $2.99, or you can still get it on Netflix DVD if you have that weird subscription. You guys, non sequitur, our palate cleanser this week is going to be from Legally Blonde, just because we need a real uplift after this.
We need some pink and bubbly.
Review us on iTunes. You guys, we're almost at 1,000.
What?
I know. Love you. Bye.
Bye.
There is this idea out there that abstract art and modern art in general is one kind of racket, is a put on. And that if a child can do it, it sort of pulls the veil off this con game.
All I really want for Marla is to be a happy, well-adjusted kid.
People are asking about this art for real. They want to know who did it, and they want to know how much it cost.
I told this to the parents the first time that I saw her work. You're in for a wild ride. I hope you're prepared for this.
We begin tonight with something of a mystery.
Even if a 3- or 4-year-old didn't do them, you'd like them. The fact that she is 4 makes it really incredible.
So what do we have here?
You have a genius.
Yeah.
The New York Times picked up the story, and it was like somebody had ignited a fuse.
10 of her abstract paintings sold for thousands of dollars.
Some big bucks as well.
Oprah just called. The owner of the Houston Rockets just bought one. It's probably the most popular story in the world right now.
This is eye-opening to me to see her actually painting, because she's not doing anything that a normal child wouldn't do.
Is 4-year-old painter Marla Olmsted a prodigy?
Some question the authenticity of the artwork.
Marla has been the sole creator of her work.
No one has touched any paint to her canvases.
Everybody's trying to shape the story into something that they want it to be.
What have I done to my children, putting them through this?
I think that she definitely has a gift.
something that's very advanced.
Is there any other explanation?
I'm sure they must feel a little nervous now about you.
You don't want to talk at all about your new paintings?
No, I choose to trust you. I don't think anybody really knows what you're going to do with the store.
Where are you going with it now?
I want footage of Marla painting that'll put my doubts to rest.
My reputation's on the line here as well.
Turn off the camera.
The whole story really is about grown-ups. She's just a little girl painting in her house.
Hello. Oh, yeah, that's better. That's better.
Much better.
I feel so much better. Do you even know what that is?
What is that?
That's Legally Blonde the musical.
Oh.
Than before. No.
I love when you get into that voice. You do the, like, annoying high school girl voice who's like, I'm going to be on Broadway.
Than before. Than before. Rachel, the mom, understands that, like.
Angie.
Sorry. I'm thinking about Rachel because of Crazy Jesus
Crazy,
camp.
Scary crazy kids in the closet.
Oh, my God.
Under my bed. She's right behind me. Again, not a mother. Assuming that you, like, would find ways to justify it.
I was just going, like, to say you're kind of like my mother.
Oh. Okay. What about when Morgan's parents are describing the dollhouse that she made?
Oh my God. They're just, it felt like out of Waiting for Guffman to me. It felt like, yes, not real. Like, because they're like, this little computer, look, it has writing on it. There's a miniature TV. Look, there's a courtroom drama happening.
Isn't that funny and creative? There's courtroom drama. And I'm like, Morgan's mom, you need to have a little bit of awareness.
I know.
Take a little bit of responsibility.
Do you see these parents who, like, you just assume are garbage parents? But they're not garbage parents.
That was Patrick.
That was me. I shouldn't do the bell. It should just be for you.
And you reach over the table. Like, you're just... the visual is great.
And then we see the judge, and I just have to say the judge walks in, and I literally screamed, oh my God, it's Orville Redenbacher.
Totally.
He's got, like, the bow tie. Like, he looks exactly like Orville Redenbacher.
You're like, oh my God, I'm stress eating your popcorn right now, sir. So nice to see you.
When I was in ninth grade, we had a science class that had a snake.
Nope.
And they would, once a month, they would feed the snake a live mouse, and you could come and watch if you wanted to. I know. What kind of monsters did I go to high school with? Allison, Sue, we're not talking about you guys.
Maybe she's what you prefer, but hey, last year I was her. Maybe you will change your mind, but you might look up to mine. I've gone on to better things, better jobs. I don't have the time to cry. I'm too busy loving my name up on that list. Kind of a cool ironic twist. Who else can I tell? Ooh, wait, where's my cell? Mom will fall on the floor. Hey, Mom, look at my name in black and white. Your daughter's doing something, something right. I feel so much better. I'll be there on Monday, 9 o'clock. And we will see who walks the walk. No, no, I can't wait. I will be there at 8 when they unlock the door. Oh, oh, I'll even dance in black and white. See, I have not begun to fight. And you'll go home much better.
Hello.
Much better.
And soon all y'all gonna know much better.
I am so 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 much. I am so much better.
About Ollie real quick. I know you love it.
Well, yeah, so my pup Pete is on a diet.
Poor thing.
I know, but not really, because he has Ollie now.
You guys, we got a lot to tell you about Ollie. Let's go. Ollie puts dogs first with vet-formulated recipes and fully transparent ingredients to give your dog the healthiest food possible.
Right, so that means they make fresh meals for dogs with real ingredients that, you guys, we can eat the ingredients.
Oh my God.
Yeah, and then they deliver it to your door on a regular schedule.
They beat out store-bought dog food 10 to 1 on the palatability scale.
Pete doesn't know he's on a diet.
Right.
finale. And so these vet-formulated recipes, they're made with all natural ingredients, no preservatives, and they're sourced from U.S. family farms.
You guys, go to myollie.com, answer a few questions about your dog, and they'll customize recipe to your dog and ship pre-portioned meals so your pup gets the perfect portion every time.
I know, they address it to Pete. It's the cutest thing in the world.
Do they really?
Yes.
You guys, they've delivered 5 million meals and counting. Shipping is free, and if your dog doesn't love the meals, they have a money-back guarantee.
Right, so Ollie is offering our listeners 60% off your first box, plus a free bag of treats at myollie.com/try/TCO.
This is the best deal they have available anywhere, you guys. Go to myollie.com/try/TCO for 60% off plus a free bag of treats.
Right, and that's spelled myollie.com/try/TCO.
Go!
Go!
We love you.
Love you, dogs. Bye.